Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Wow, you're up in your bump game. I like it. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. Sometime this half hour, I'm going to send you to see Tony and Tina's wedding. Yes, that's very exciting. Don't kid yourself. You know what else is exciting? Always talking to the boys from ManBQ, or the men from ManBQ, I should say. John Carruthers, John Scholl, and Jesse Valenciana are in the studio with me. They have a brand new cookbook, ManBQ does. The ManBQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home. Eat Street is the name of the book. And just looking at the cover and the pictures on the back, I am very, very hungry. It is good to have you guys here. Thanks for coming in. You brought some beer, which, of course, ManBQ would not be. That's one of the triumvirates.
Yeah.
Meat, beer, and rock and roll.
That's right.
So you have to have. And we had a little rock and roll from Joey with the Springsteen. So now we have beer. All we're missing is meat. But, you know, we'll make do. So, all right, this is the second cookbook that the ManBQ crew has decided to put together. What's the impetus for Eat Street?
Eat Street was the idea that as much as we love grills, we really love deep fryers and griddles and all these other things. So we thought, hey, what if we could just cook like everything?
That would be good.
So that's what we did. We just turned in a piece of paper with everything written on it. We all signed it. Jesse signed it with an X because, you know,
listen,
spelling.
Literacy is overrated.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Cheers to that, guys.
If we can write two books, literacy is overrated.
Yeah, you guys have two books. You must know how to write something.
I'm just as surprised as you are, Brian.
Listen. If I can talk, you can write. Who cares? They're letting everybody do everything.
But yeah, we took our favorite street foods from around the world, you know, Runza's
are great.
And
a lot of people have no idea what they are unless they've gone to Iowa.
Derner, we did some Puerto Rican food, Cuban. Like, we took it out of just the whole hipsters in Seattle putting Korean barbecue into tacos. Which isn't to say those aren't delicious, but we're not nearly hip enough to pull it off anymore.
And I just don't, when you say, oh, this is hipster food, I immediately don't want to eat it. Because I'm afraid I'll grow a big knit hat and a giant beard, no offense, Jesse. That'll just be me in skinny jeans, and nobody wants to see that.
That's two insults.
You replace the beer with $60 a pound coffee, and all of a sudden you're lecturing people about a thing you read on NPR.com.
So now, were these suggestions just from you three as you traveled around, or did you take suggestions from other people who said, hey, I was in Austin, and I went to this food truck, and they made this thing, and it was phenomenal, and then you guys went and found them? How did it work?
So we do have some contributors to this as well. You know, we have a guy in Germany. We have a ManBQ German chapter.
Nice.
So we're like, hey, send us over some of your favorite street food from Germany. I had been there, and I had some that I liked, but he sent some things that are really unique, you know, with special cheeses, with onions, and lots of liver. A liver dog is one of them, which, you know, we tested everything, and I cooked it. I will have to admit that liver is one of those meats that I'm always like, I don't know if I really like this. But it made the cut and it made it into the book because it's, you know, a little different and it's legit German street food. So, and we have some other contributors from other chapters throughout the United States for us.
We also had some chefs that contributed. John did a recipe for Philly cheesesteak with you guys up.
Monty's up in Lincoln Square.
Okay.
They do the finest Philly cheesesteak around. They taught us how to do a proper Philly and also the roast pork hoagie that you get there with the broccoli rabe. Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
So now it's all of these sound great, but I hear them and I go, man, that sounds really complicated. Like, I can cook pretty well, but I would need special tools and all sorts of things. But the cookbook says, the Eat Street says, no, you'll be able to handle it.
If I can put one point on how good this book is.
Yes.
I cannot properly assemble an IKEA shelf for my baby daughter. I can cook everything in this book.
Really?
It's true. I was at his house when they were trying to make this IKEA shelf, and I was like, this guy can cook, but he can't screw in.
There's a way different things. Recipes are in English.
Those two genderless, mute, fat guys completely bedevil me, but I can make a fine Philly now, so can you, radio audience.
Wow. Listen, then you need to go get Eat Street. You can get it wherever fine books are sold and on Amazon, and it makes a wonderful holiday gift for, I know that sounds like a cheesy plug, but listen, I like to cook, I like to eat, and I like to drink beer. And this would help me do all three of those things because not only are the recipes in there, but you guys, as is your want, put a nice beer pairing with every recipe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing the research for this took years and years because you were bloated and hammered, which is two things that are, I think, are wonderful.
That book's been 10 years in the making.
So let's go back to the recipes, and then we'll get to the beer. You got all these submissions. You guys brought them, or somebody from another Mambique chapter submitted them, or chefs, or whatever. How was the testing process? Because, John, you said you tried to cook a couple things. Jesse, I'm sure you did too. John, you did too. So did you guys all try to cook them together, or did you go to your own place and go, hey, man, I just tried to cook X, and it was pretty simple, and it turned out fine.
The first book, John and I spent a lot of time in the kitchen together. For this book, I was on the road for work, so good. I would kind of come home with an idea of what I wanted to do, and the time that I spent at home, that was like my only opportunity to really try stuff. So I'd call a buddy and be like, hey, can I use your kitchen? Because my kitchen stinks. My old kitchen does. So, yeah, I mean, I had to squeeze it in between work trips. But you guys...
Yeah, we divvied it up. You know, Shoal would ignore his wife and child at the time and spend all night. They'd be like, Dad, come to bed. And he would be like, no, I have to make Hawaiian pizza.
True. Listen, it's
true. Would think the kids would then be happy because Dad has Hawaiian pizza when they wake up.
My kids are very specific in what they want to eat. It's quesadillas, spaghetti, or rice sausage casserole. Those are the three things that every week we have at my house.
So are they young?
Yeah.
Yeah, young kids have their – those are their categories.
Yep. So I would make that for dinner. And then once they go to bed – that's when I would start really cooking and having fun with it while, you know, trying not to bang pans too much and wake everybody in the house up.
Makes sense.
Tell me more about this quesadilla spaghetti.
The quesadilla spaghetti.
Quesadilla spaghetti sounds intriguing.
Idea for a Portland food truck.
Next cookbook.
Is that an Eat Street 2?
Yeah, Eat Street 2. Even more Portland-y.
Were you guys harmed by some hipsters in Portland? John has a lot of animosity.
No,
Northwest hipsters.
I just like to use the laziest possible stereotype because I spend too long every day on Twitter.
Yeah, no, that's how everybody does it. Just go with the low-hanging fruit.
So
that's
you guys aren't hipsters?
Uh-oh.
Oh, who said that?
I did, because I see some beanies down there and some beards.
It's cold, okay? Don't judge me.
And you
me.
Brought Wait, beer.
You can come down here.
Craft beer, probably.
Yes. They brought mass-produced swill. Yes, they brought lovely craft beer. I told
like
you guys
PBR
you could
too?
Have some.
These are all balanced out by my Wrangler dad jeans.
Nice.
I'm too old and fat to be a hipster. I'm like a... Yeah,
I have a rescue pit bull and live in the Logan Square neighborhood. So.
Oh man!
Oh, no.
Do you graffiti the walls on the weekends?
Wow, Violetta, these men are guests.
I'm sorry.
They've brought beer.
Cut my mic.
We all listen. People who are watching on the stream will make their own decisions. But we, you know, that's oh my goodness.
Oh my God! And two of us are wearing plaid flannel shirts.
I know.
I thought my hat looked more like a college pot dealer hat, but hipster's fine.
Well, listen, I don't care. I don't care what you label yourself as long as you can cook and have beer. Those are the two
Me
things.
Me too.
Now, when you make, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and I want to find out how you decided what to pair. I also want to talk about some of the beer you brought, which are great holiday beers, because last time I talked to you, Jesse, we talked about how the beer industry is trying to overcome this stigma that beer is just, you know, we're having a beer, instead of thinking of it like wine or any other fine cocktail that you would enjoy with a meal or just sitting around with your friends or debating with Violetta over what a hipster is. So we'll get into all of that. Eat Street is the book. If you go to manbq.com, you can not only read up on Mambique, and can people join? You can still become a member of this fine organization?
Oh, yeah. If we can continue to be members, anyone's
I'm just checking.
Door.
I don't know how exclusive you want to be.
If you could take a beating with a bar of soap and a sock.
Oh, you got to get jumped in.
Well, yeah. You got to supply your own soap, too. So if you don't bring it, we might just be like, oh, wow. I guess.
All right.
Beer's over there.
How about if I just pour some liquid soap on me and let you punch me once? Would that work?
Who's the hipster now?
Exactly. I bring a lot of liquid soap. So go to manbq.com. Get yourself the book Eat Street. It is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And everything, I'm looking, Chinatown wings, brats for all. There's 200 recipes, and each of the recipes, guaranteed by these guys, easy to make. And they pair a wonderful beer with it. So we'll talk more to the gentleman from Mambique, John Carruthers, John Scholl, and our good friend Jesse Valenciana. Nothing says happy holidays like meat, beer, and rock and roll. And that's why the guys from Mambique are here. John Carruthers, John Scholl, and Jesse Valenciana. They have a brand new cookbook for everybody who thinks they can cook, wants to cook, or even thinks they can't cook, well, guess what? If you can read, you can cook. Eat Street is the name of the book. If you go to manbq.com, you can order it there. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere fine books are sold, and it's a wonderful thing. Over 200 recipes. This is the second cookbook from the ManBQ guys, and welcome. Now, we talked about the submissions. We talked about how you guys went through and tried all these recipes. Now we get to the part where you say, all right, I'm just going to open the book to a random page. Sicilian-style stuffed artichokes. Oh, that sounds delicious. Now, I've made these in my kitchen, and I think to myself, I would love a beverage to go with this. I could have tap water, but that's very pedestrian. I could go with a bottle of wine, but that's too foofy. I want a beer. What kind of beer would I go? How did you guys come up with the pairings for all these wonderful recipes?
Well, for that, there's, you know, I follow the ABCs of beer pairing, which is accentuating, bridging, and contrasting flavors in the beer and food. So
I was hoping it would start with always be.
Always be crocked. That's how you do it with the beer.
But, it, you know, like, it's funny because if you look at the book, when we were done writing it and we were pairing it, I look at it now and I'm like, oh, you know what? This beer would also taste really good with this. And John and I... Yeah. Well, all three of us, like, we continue our both food and beer knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it from that perspective, at that time, it's almost like that beer pairing is a zeitgeist. You know, at that time, that made sense.
That was the one.
And now I'm like, because, and we've talked about this before, with beer, there's no rules, right?
Yeah.
With wine, there's rules. You can't have a white flaky fish with a Malbec. With a burger, you can't be like, well, you have to have a Doppelbock.
Right.
No, it depends on what the topping is. Depends on... You know, the bread. It depends on a bunch of different things. And you can have one beer that goes perfect with it, and you can have another beer that brings other flavors out of that burger and out of that beer.
And in the end, it all should come down to what you like, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go with all these different rules, but in the end, it's like, I like a certain type of beer. Well, then try it with this dish and see. You know, try the one that's suggested. Go, oh, I like this beer a lot. So you've opened your mind to something new. Or go, eh. I still like this one.
Yeah, and that was kind of
I was just going to say, you know, a nice APA or something will go well with that artichoke and the flavors we got in there. But if you want to drink with Mike's Hard Lemonade, you know,
it's not really I'm going to shake my head. I'm going to shrug my shoulders and not understand you as a human. But, you know, that's fine.
Well, as long as I don't have to share it with you, man. Fly whatever flag you dig.
You've got a very questionable cellar.
So I have barrel-aged Mike's Hard.
Is that right?
10 years.
Wow.
No, dear God, that would be awful.
I don't know.
That would just be a very long-winded way of saying I have ants in my basement.
Maybe it was some weird little picadillo that you have where you're like, yes, I've been stockpiling Mike's Hard Lemonade since its inception. This is phenomenal.
Pedestrian brewmaster is trying to make something great. I'm trying to ruin something in the worst way possible.
Speaking of ruining my ability to speak, what kind of beers are we sampling here?
The first one we had was Lost Abbey. They're out of, right, I think, just north of San Diego. It's one of my favorite breweries. And we had Lost Abbey.
Okay.
Yeah, they do really good stuff. And the first one was a Belgian, an Abbey double made with raisins. So
ooh.
I feel that doubles already have like naturally like a raisin.
Explain
flavor.
What a double is.
It's a Belgian style.
Okay.
So again, it's like a nice malty beer. Mm-hmm. It's a Belgian beer, and I think naturally it has a raisiny kind of stone fruit flavor to it. So I was curious as to what it would taste like with raisins added to it, and I thought it was superb.
Yeah, it's very tasty.
Double is a great Belgian style that a lot of American breweries are doing really well. And, you know, originally it was, Trappist monks getting a little tipsy off of it. And now we can all enjoy it because we were born at the greatest time in the world for beer.
That is it. It's like Hamilton said.
Yeah.
The time we're living in. Oh, it's beautiful. So what's this? This is some sort of lovely stout.
Actually, this is a Doppelbock.
Oh.
So it's your traditional German style. There we go. Jesse's holding it up.
For the listeners at home, please put your hand on the radio and read it by Braille.
So it's a darker beer. It's full-bodied. It was developed by monks, again. Monks like to drink.
Monks do good work.
Yeah, well, that's what else do they have to do?
Well, they can make terrible cheese. I've had that, too.
Yeah.
This is called liquid bread.
Exactly. And every beer is a sandwich.
Well, it would keep them alive during fasting, at least is the urban legend.
Is that right?
I think they probably just really dug it.
I'm going to fast. Well, I'm going to get hammered, too, but that's it.
Really, I mean,
I want to be a monk.
A Bock beer starts at 6%, 6.5%. This is a Doppelbock, so it's even stronger. So some of these can reach up 10 to 12% ABV. This one's probably kind of right in the middle there, but, I mean, think about it, like... 100 years ago, when you're drinking this beer to survive, quote unquote survive, you're probably getting pretty buzzed up after
right.
the first couple.
You have one or two and then you hibernate. Well, listen, guys, it is always wonderful to have the MambiQ crew in here. Eat Street is the name of the new cookbook. If you know anybody who likes to cook and drink beer and just have a good time in the kitchen, this is definitely the book you need to get. Eat Street, the MambiQ guide to making street food at home. If you go to MambiQ.com, you can order the book right through the website, or you can get it wherever wonderful books are sold. John Carruthers, John Scholl, and our good friend Jesse Valenciana. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming
in.
Thank you for the lovely samples. And when book three comes out, you know, well, we'll see you before book three comes out, because if Jesse's writing, this took 10 years to put together. I don't have that kind of time. We will talk to you soon. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, you guys. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, let's do this. News in two, WGN.